The date, December 24th, 1973. Christmas Eve has fallen on a Monday of all days this year, and there really is no bluer Monday than a Christmas Eve where one really has no place to go. Fred Sales, the bartender at the Block Chip, a little lounge that's easy to miss on even the brightest of nights, off the Route 151 in Bertram, Iowa. He's been polishing glasses with the hope that maybe a few more lonely souls might wander in, looking for some extra company for their misery. His co-worker and cocktail waitress, Edie, occupies a tattered stool in front of him, her long, defeated face cupped in her arthritic hands.
Fred, please, turn the Christmas music off.
Why? It's Christmas.
That's exactly why.
Well, it sure is a cold one. At least 10 below what they said on the radio.
Please turn off the music. I am begging you.
That's why they're not coming in here this year, you see. It's too cold.
Please, Fred.
What do you think, lady? Should we turn off the Christmas music?
I don't care.
Hey, that fella is with you, right, lady?
Yeah.
Well, can you wake him up? He can't be sleeping on the bar like that.
Leave him be.
He doesn't have long to live, chum. Cirrhosis of the liver. This is probably his last Christmas.
That does it!
Hey!
Enough of that music for now. My head is throbbing.
Edie is not being honest, of course, when she says that she has a headache. The pain she feels comes from a completely different place. A pain she is slowly becoming numb to with each passing year.
All right, but I'm turning the music back on the second some more customers walk. Hey!
Oh,
the damn power's gone off. What luck. Oh, bah. I can't see a darn thing.
Actually, this is something of an answered prayer right now. I just want a little peace for a minute. This is perfect. Tell you what, can we all just sit here quietly in the dark for a few minutes? It would really do me a whole world of good right now.
That suits me. All we can do is wait anyway. Hopefully it won't be long till the power comes back. People are gonna think we're closed. At the piano.
Oh, that song.
It's so beautiful.
Gather near to us.
I miss you so. Remember how we'd sing this one when we were all together? Where did those happy times go?
That was wonderful. What a treat. Who's that over there?
Please, play us another one.
Please, can I make a request? Would you happen to know...
Oh, hey, the lights. Hey, they're back on. Well, let's see who's at the... Oh, there's no one at the piano.
Of course, they found that not only was there no one at the piano, a piano no one had even touched or tuned for years. There was a thick cake of dust on both the cover of the keys and the piano bench that was completely undisturbed. Our friends at the block chip shuddered with the chill of the eerie and the unknown, just as their hearts were warmed with the sentiment of the familiar. This is how we celebrate the holidays, folks. And this is how we shall celebrate with you this evening. This is Fireside Mystery Theater. Kind listeners, thank you for joining us this evening. Tonight is the 27th of December, our final show of 2015. It's 2 days after Christmas, 1 day after Boxing Day, 4 days away from the eve of the new year. We're lingering in that odd intersection between two holidays to bring you tales of holiday cheer, specially brewed and liberally spiked with holiday fears. And don't be mistaken, we all know that even this warmest of seasons carries with it its own unique arsenal of tensions, anxieties, and phobias of all stripes and sizes. That being said, let's unwrap tonight's first ghostly gift together. A little something we hung by the chimney with care called Hotline.
Herman Bernard here. Thanks for listening. Fear. Not quite the expected topic for a New Year's Eve broadcast, I suppose, but based on all the recent headlines of the past few weeks, is it any wonder that everyone lives in constant fear in this country? Fear of the Foreign Terrorist Act. Fear of the Domestic Terrorist Act. Fear that the wrong leader will come to power and harvest the alarm and panic of our citizens and turn our society into an Orwellian police state? Even I, right now, who's trying to convince you that paranoia and knee-jerk reactions to our basic primal impulses are not the answer, can't help but notice that I, too, am somehow stirring the pot with...
Okay, that's enough. I can't handle you right now, Herman Bernard.
Lucille?
Hi, Dana. Can I call you back? I just stepped out of the shower.
It's important, Lucille.
What's the matter?
Can you make yourself available? We're badly understaffed tonight.
It's New Year's Eve. Maybe I have plans, Dana.
Do you?
Christ.
You can work from home. Even if it's just 3 to 4 hours, it would be a great help to us.
Dana, I can't. I just can't tonight. It's too difficult. You know as well as I do, this is the toughest night of the year to take the calls.
I know it's asking a lot of our volunteers, and I know that no one wants to walk this particular beat, but the reason I'm calling on you is that you're one of the very best soldiers we have on the front lines.
Soldier? Really, Dana? That sounds like something from... I hear you, Pepper. Hold on.
Pepper?
Pepper is my cat. She's asking to be fed.
Lucille, you're the best we've got. You've talked more people off the ledge than anyone else in the crisis center.
Well, that's only because out of all the volunteers in our area, I'm probably the only one who knows what it's like to actually survive a suicide attempt.
Two attempts, one of which I talked you out of.
You know, I'm starting to think you enjoy pointing that out.
I don't, but you're forcing my hand. We need you tonight, Lucille. This is the one night we need you most.
You know, I can do any day or night you want next week. Can't I have a break this year? The calls, they take a lot out of me.
I know that they do. They take a lot out of me, too. I wouldn't bother you unless I truly and sincerely needed you.
So you're bothering me. All right, I'll do it. Just 3 hours, though. Deal?
Oh, did anyone ever tell you how wonderful you are?
Save it for the calls, Dana.
All right, you're all set up to receive calls from your computer then, Lucille.
Yes.
Great. I'll check in with you tomorrow. Thank you, Lucille. We need more people like you in the world. Happy New Year, honey.
Happy New Year, Dana. You're pretty amazing yourself, lady.
You're tuned into WCNY on your FM dial. All talk, all the time. We're at the top of the 9 o'clock hour of the Herman Bernard Show. I'm Herman Bernard. Looks like we'll have another unseasonably agreeable evening this evening for New Year's Eve. Partly cloudy this evening with temperatures falling into the low 50s with a high of 57 degrees. Whew! I don't know if it's just me, but I feel like it could stand to be a bit colder for New Year's. That's just me, perhaps, but...
All right, Herman Bernard. I love you, but you're making me drowsy. Not one call so far. Usually by now there's a bunch. Oh, what is it, Pepper? I just fed you an hour ago. Hey, easy, sweetie. What's the matter? You've been acting strange all day. Let me get this. Hello, crisis prevention. How can I help you?
Hello?
Hi there.
This is the suicide prevention hotline, right?
That's right. What can I do for you?
Do I have to give you my name?
No, well, not if you don't want to. Are you able to tell me about what's going on?
What it amounts to is that I'm trying to make a decision.
Whether or not to end your life.
I don't want to die, but I may have no choice.
Well, I'm going to make the assumption that you do. Do you have a plan?
What do you mean by that, a plan? Like, how do I plan to kill myself?
Well, yes.
Right now I'm locked in my bedroom.
Okay.
I'm too scared to leave this room. The only option I see right now is the window here in my bedroom, and I'm on the 16th floor.
Oh, did you just say that you're on the 16th floor?
Yes.
I happen to live on the 16th floor of my building, too.
What a coincidence.
This is your apartment, I take it.
Yes.
Are you at home alone? Can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Okay, well, who else is in your apartment? A spouse? Any friends or family members?
I'd rather not say.
Are you currently on any substances, drugs, or alcohol?
No, I'm completely sober, but I'd kill for a cigarette, though.
All right. Well, other than craving a cigarette, what are your thoughts like right now?
My thoughts? My thoughts are that I really don't want to climb out of this window and fall to my death. But I'm afraid it's going to happen. It'd be a better alternative to...
A better alternative to what?
Have you ever wanted to die?
If it helps you to know, yes. Many times. But I was able to get help just in time. That's why I'm here on New Year's Eve talking to you right now, so I can help others like me. Tell me, do you have a terminal illness of some kind?
I don't.
And how old are you, if you don't mind my asking?
I'm 30.
Wow, the same as me. So why are you thinking of ending your life tonight? You know, you can talk to me. You can tell me as much or as little as you like. I'm perfectly content just to listen. I'm not going anywhere.
I've made a lot of bad decisions, one after the other. And I've done a lot of bad things. Things I'm truly ashamed of. I really have nothing, and there's no one left. Everything and everyone I ever loved is either dead or wishes I was dead. But you have to understand, I'm trying not to give up hope. There has to be a way out of this. I just can't let myself die this way. That's why I'm calling you, I guess.
Well, now this is a good start. So tell me, is that window in your bedroom open?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Okay, well, do me a favor. Can you please go over to the window and shut it tight? Lock it, even.
I'm not ready to do that yet.
That's okay. It's okay, then.
You have no idea what a prize I turned out to be. If you only knew how many people were unlucky or foolish enough to get mixed up with me. And I know I'll have to pay for it all somewhere down the line. I know this, but I'm just not ready to answer for those things just yet. I can turn my life around. If I could have one more chance to start it all over, turn it all around, become a new person, create a new identity or something.
Is someone threatening to kill you?
You're a suicide prevention person. Help me figure this out. I don't want to go through with this. There's got to be another way. What am I going to do?
Can you just try to leave your place for a little bit? You know, get a breath of fresh air. You're on a cell phone, right? So you can walk while we talk on the phone.
You don't understand. The second I walk out of this room, I am dead. Worse than dead.
What do you mean by that?
It's true, you know. There really are things that are worse than dying, much worse. You have no idea. I'd rather jump out of this window. God, if I only had a bottle of sleeping pills or something.
Well, there has to be a way to work this out bit by bit. Maybe we can narrow in on something small first. Like that window, for example.
I'm not closing it, all right?
Okay, okay. Leave it open then.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to shout at you like that.
That's all right. Do you still feel like you want to talk?
Yes, please don't hang up. I'm sorry. Are you still there?
Yes.
What time is it?
Getting close to 10 o'clock.
I'm looking out my window now. All the people in the cars passing by. Where are they all headed for New Year's Eve, I wonder? You know, I used to think all those people down there were idiots and that this was the worst night of the year.
And now what do you think?
I wish I was out there with them, breathing every breath of the air the way people put down drinks on New Year's Eve. No, I don't have any place to judge them. Not anymore.
Look, I really want to help you, so just give me something to start with.
I wish I knew where to start. If only I... Oh, my God.
What is it?
He just slipped a note underneath my door.
Who did?
I'm afraid to read it.
Who slipped a note under your door? Wait, the person who's trying to hurt you.
I'm afraid to look at it. Oh, my God.
What does it say?
Hold on. Well...
Are you reading the piece of paper?
Huh.
Hello?
Not what I expected it to say.
What does it say?
He's willing to negotiate.
Okay, be careful. I'm starting to think that we should call the police now.
I wouldn't do that if I were you.
Then just tell me. Who is that outside
this
the door?
This is good, actually.
Who is this guy?
Not a bad deal, really. Not a bad deal at all. It gives me one more chance.
Hello? Hello?
I'm still here. I'm just writing out my response.
Okay, well, what's going on here? I'm very confused right now.
Okay, I can do that. Just promise my silence and allegiance in exchange for...
In exchange? In exchange for what?
Great. Let's do it. It's a done deal.
What are you talking about?
It's a done deal. I'm free. But I'm afraid I have some bad news for you, hon. He'll be coming for you now instead.
Hey, what just happened? Oh, damn it. I have to try to call her back. please? Why is the window open? I didn't open the... Who's there? Who's there?
You're listening to the Herman Bernard Show on WCNY Talk Radio 104.7 FM. I'm Herman Bernard. So it's the first day of the new year. I wonder, how's everybody holding up? Hopefully you're not in too much pain. If you're in recovery mode, just sit back and let us do the talking. Coming up in the next hour, we have an in-studio visit from Tina Lafayette, our favorite parabolic puzzle maker, with some New Year's brain teasers for you. But before we bring her in, here's some local weather and news. Tonight's forecast, clouds and drizzle with a chance of thunderstorms later in the evening. Highs are expected to go up into the mid-50s. In local news, police intercepted what appeared to be a serious bomb threat during last night's New Year's Eve celebration downtown. Two suspects are currently in custody. After 65 years in business, the Pelican Grill will be closing its doors due to a 70% rent increase. It has not been yet announced what will replace the landmark dining establishment that has over the years catered to countless celebrities and four different presidents. And Lucille Sanders, a 30-year-old suicide prevention hotline volunteer, apparently jumped to her death out of the 16th floor window of her Midtown high-rise apartment. At the sound of the tone, the time will be exactly 9 p.m.
Now let's welcome musical guests, Little Embers, with an original tune, Christmas Brings Out the Blues Sometimes.
What does it mean when I hear sleigh bells ring and I hear the caroling and think of you? Eggnog and some rum. Stuff so good and numbs you to the bone. And the heart that celebrates alone. Stay a little tipsy till the spring it nips thee. Thank you.
Special thanks to Little Embers, with a guest you may recognize, Gustavo Rodriguez. Give them another hand. Make sure to stick around after our show for a full set of the fantastic Little Embers after the show. And now this word from one of our sponsors.
Oh, Michael, fancy meeting you here.
Oh, hey. Annabelle.
Funny bumping into you at the exchange line here. What's that you're returning?
Oh, this. You know, well.
Hey, that's the scarf I bought for you for Christmas. I thought you would love that. It is so you.
It has a mustard stain on it.
That's not a stain. It's part of the design.
And do you realize it's only 6 inches long?
Oh, Michael, this is so awkward.
Speaking of awkward, what's that you're returning there? Is that...
Yes, if you must know.
The Motley Crue oven mitts I got you? I thought you were a true fan.
I am. But hey, hey, look, it's Allie.
Hey there, you two. Happy holidays.
Allie, Michael and I are in quite a quandary here. We both happen to run into each other on the returns line here and realize that we're both returning each other's Christmas gifts.
Oh, well, that's too bad. Well, if it's any consolation, I've already returned the gifts you both gave me for Christmas this year. So I could buy myself some more Fifth and Maiden handcrafted jewelry.
You did what?
You do realize that celery dicer was also a foot massager.
Fifth and Maiden handcrafted jewelry make a spectacular gift no matter what the holiday, and not just special occasions, but for every occasion.
Who's she?
Shh, she's reading the ad copy.
Fifth and Maiden offers wholesale organic luxury jewelry and housewares that blend clean lines...
with a bit of shimmer.
With a bit of shimmer and exquisite natural finds directly from the stunning California coastline. All Fifth and Maiden pieces are handcrafted in their SoCal studio. To learn more, just go to their website, fifthandmaiden.storeenvy.com. Fifth and Maiden are the official jewelers of Fireside Mystery Theater.
Ciao, you two. Happy holidays and many happy returns. And that concludes Act One of our program this evening. Now, a quick word, my friends, about the good folks at Audio Boom. We're proud to partner up with them as they continue to take the podcast world by storm. It's a great platform to both host and listen to podcasts. Go to audioboom.com for more information and start listening to the best in audio entertainment today. There are so many interesting variations in the way Christmas is celebrated around the world. In the Ukraine, they decorate their trees with artificial spiders and webs. Venezuelans have a tradition of roller skating to Christmas Mass. And in Japan, many folks celebrate Christmas Eve by eating lots of Kentucky Fried Chicken. But our next... I would like to be a Venezuelan Japanese person. Our next story, English Christmas, serves not only as a primer in that country's Yuletide traditions, but could also be construed as a cautionary exercise. Those of you listening at home, if you haven't dimmed those lights yet, now would be a good time.
So what is this thing now?
It's what we call back in England a Christmas cracker.
Cracker, like a cookie, you mean?
No,
silly. They call it a Christmas cracker because of the sound it makes. Here, I'll show you, Jimmy Love. You pull one end of the tube and I'll pull on the other.
That's what she said.
Silly. Behave now. Come on then, just help me, love, and pull. Oh. I'm sorry. That was a loud one. I didn't mean to startle you. Oh, dear. All the contents are falling about.
I'm on it. I'll help you pick it up.
What is this stuff?
Oh, it's important, especially the paper crowns. That's it, all folded up. There are paper crowns for all of us to wear inside each of these Christmas crackers.
Oh, that's what they do back in England, right? Everyone wears these paper crowns at Christmas dinner, right? They did that in Love Actually, if I recall.
Do we really have to wear these silly Burger King crowns?
Yes. Yes, you do, Jimmy. Don't be a Grinch.
The Grinch was a Brit. Boris Karloff played him after all. He knew better.
Well, so was Scrooge, and look what happened to him.
Humbug, I say.
Hold fast, Jimmy dear. I promise you that by the end of this night, I will fully convert you to celebrating Christmas the English way. You're going to just love it. The roast is almost ready, and also on the menu is an oyster soup prepared just the way my mum taught me, and my plum pudding and mince pies are not to be reckoned with. And finally, I have a large pot of my special wassail brewing on the other burner.
Well, it all smells just wonderful.
Why, thank you, Alex.
Oh, I think this was a wonderful idea, Winnie. You know, it's all pretty exciting.
Well, it's the very least I could do for you all who've been so, made a very homesick Brit feel welcome and oh so comfortable while being so very far away from home. I'm so fortunate to have made friends in America as lovely as you are. And Alex and Jimmy, I absolutely adore this precious little holiday cottage of yours. Could there be a place more perfect to spend the Christmas than this? It's so idyllic and romantic. You know, Alex, you really are quite a lucky lady. I can only dream that one day I will be fortunate enough to have such a dreamy getaway for me when my own dream boat finally rests ashore.
Oh, yes, I am quite lucky, Winnie. And we're grateful, aren't we, Jimmy? And isn't it just fabulous to have a white Christmas?
Oh, it's utterly enchanting, Alex. It doesn't seem real, in fact. It's very seldom we have any snow on the ground at all for Christmas back home.
Yeah, it does look nice, until I realize all the shoveling I'll be doing tomorrow.
Shoveling? What are you talking about? You have a snowblower.
It's busted.
Oh, you should have told me. I would have gotten you a new one for Christmas, instead of the shovel I just bought you.
Har, har.
All right, then. Enough of these procrastinations. Let's all gather our Christmas crackers and get them popping.
Let's do it.
Hey,
all right, Winnie. I gotta hand it to you. This dinner is amazing. Oh, Alex, you should write about this whole English Christmas dinner thing for your next column.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Really? I am truly flattered by even the suggestion.
One of these days, I really need to learn how to cook.
I'd be happy to teach you some things, Alex. Who does the cooking at home?
Well, if there's one thing I know, it's food.
Oh. Hard to believe, right? I hate to admit it, but Jimmy is actually a pretty damn good cook. Escapes me.
You mean to say that you do all the wood chopping, snow shoveling, home repairs, all that, and the cooking as well, Jimmy? Quite heroic, I would say.
Winnie, is there actual plum in the plum pudding?
No, there isn't actually. That's because back in the olden days, raisins were referred to as plums.
Oh, interesting.
Mm. Winnie, please, just stop serving us and join us at the table, would you?
Yes, please sit.
Well, I'm starting to get used to it myself. You just ignore them, Winnie.
Such a cheeky boy. I'm just filling everyone's glasses with the rest of the wassail, and then I'll just remain seated. I shall have... I just have my glass left. There. And there we are. And here we are. How sensational you all look. Paper crowns and all. Even you, Jimmy. What a sight to see. I'd like to raise my glass to you fine friends for indulging me and allowing me to share with you a much-missed piece of home. Cheers, darlings.
Cheers. Cheers.
Here's to all those who can't be with us. My family back at home that I miss dearly. My mum and dad. my sister, my gran.
Alex and I are kind of happy not doing the family thing this year, except for you, Nicole, of course.
Well, Nicole is all the family I have left, but yes, for once, I agree with you, Jimmy. It's the first year we haven't had to deal with the stress of family gatherings at Christmas time. Oh, we needed a break from it, honestly. But Nicole, you're the exception, sweetheart. Twin sisters like us tend to be inseparable anyway, I suppose.
Oh, that's true, sis. I'm really glad to be here with you.
This is the first Christmas I've been apart from my family, and I miss them terribly. Perhaps the absence of your family this year, Jimmy, will make your heart grow fonder for them.
You haven't met my mother.
Uh-uh.
My heart grows fonder for her absence.
I do hope you're just having a bit of fun, because that sounds very sad to me. Well, let me clear the table so we can retire to the sitting room and be by the fire for my favorite part of our English Christmas tradition.
Winnie, Alex and I are going to clean up here. Go and relax for a moment. Better yet, Jimmy, get off your overfed rump and help us clear the table.
Well, actually, let's give poor Jimmy a break this time, can't we? He's the only man in the house, after all. Jimmy, where you could be a great help to me is in collecting as much firewood as possible for that fire. Now hurry along, lad.
Why, yes, m'lady.
Is everyone comfortable?
Oh, too comfortable.
I'm so full. I may pass out.
You can't pass out. Not yet. We're going to tell ghost stories.
What? Ghost stories?
That's what I said.
Wait, no one told you. This is Christmas, not Halloween.
Yes, that's what I've heard about you Brits. You tell each other ghost stories on Christmas Eve.
Really? People still do that?
My family does, certainly.
Interesting, but you know, it's so warm and festive here by the fire and the glow of the Christmas tree. What kind of ghost stories do you tell? Actual scary ones?
More frightening the better.
Wow. I don't know. That seems so strange to me.
But think about it. Dickens' A Christmas Carol, that's a ghost story.
That's true. And there's Turn of the Screw. That mentions Christmas at the beginning. Although Henry James was a Yank.
That was after he converted. Well, so how does this work? You read us a Christmas carol or something like that?
No. The way we do it in our family, we just sort of tell stories. Just make them up. Unless one has a true ghost story of some sort to tell.
You don't really believe in ghosts, do you?
Well, my answer to that question is somewhat complicated. Well, what does everybody say? Let's all have a go at it. If it makes it any easier, I will break the ice and go first.
Well, actually, now that I think of it, if you want, I think I have a story.
Oh.
It supposedly happened to a cousin of mine, but the poor guy was always, he's kind of a screw-up.
What happened?
Well, you mean what supposedly happened. He thought he saw something and he
What happened?
He went insane.
Are you talking about Steve?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Now, this is according to what his family says. I don't believe any of it, but, you know, according to them, one time he went on a camping trip upstate in the Finger Lakes with his family, and he just sort of disappeared. There, and they looked all over for him, and, you know, when they finally did find him, he was stark naked and shivering, rolling around the lakeshore on his back with his teeth chattering.
My God. What happened to him?
Like I said, he could never get it together. It's such a waste. I mean, he probably found some magic mushrooms. And
what did he say had happened?
Well, in between all the teeth chattering, I mean, He said that he was walking along the lakeshore early in the morning, all by himself, when he saw a man, or what he thought was a man, rise up from the lake waters.
Well, so far that sounds pretty plausible. A man who's been swimming comes out of the water, so what?
But, well, that's just it. He He said the man didn't come out of the water like a normal person. He rose from it. He floated to the top of it or something. That, and nothing on him was wet. I mean, not his clothes, nor his hair. He rose from the water and he was completely dry. I mean, that's what he kept saying anyhow.
That's so strange.
And he said that as soon as this man looked into his eyes, he found he couldn't move. That all he could see were his eyes burning into him, and he says it was then that he saw his true face, and
what?
That, well, that he couldn't stop laughing. And then the man's hands reached out to him and took him by the ankles and started to drag him towards the lake. Anyway, you know, that's all he said he could remember when they found him.
And you don't believe his story at all, right?
Well, I believe he had some kind of violent interaction with someone while he was high on something. He was already, you know, well on his way to becoming an acid casualty anyway. I mean, he was a legendary stoner, too.
I didn't know any of that. I've been married to you for 8 years, and you never told me this part of the story.
Well, I never believed it. It was just a bad acid trip, if you ask me. I completely forgot about it until the subject of telling ghost stories came up just now. Well, needless to say, he's been in and out of institutions ever since.
That's terrible.
It is. It is. And that's all I've got. Who's next? Don't mind me. I'm gonna go stretch out here while you gals carry on, if that's all right with you.
It's a very sad story about your cousin Jimmy. I'm very sorry to hear that. I can understand about what you're saying about his drug use casting doubts on the veracity of his account, but I'd like to tell you something that happened to me.
You mean you saw a ghost yourself, or had some kind of paranormal experience?
Really?
It happened when I was 11 years old. My great-auntie Florence once had a beautiful house in the country near Sandwich, Kent. Sad to say, the house is no longer in the family. It was sold after she passed when I was about 17. It's perhaps a bit odd that I have such fond memories of visiting that old place, because it was there that I had the encounter. The only encounter like it that I ever experienced. I was too terrified to recount it all for years after it happened.
It was pretty traumatic, huh?
Very.
Yet you seem almost nostalgic right now.
I am. Quite so. So, Auntie Florence's country home. Close your eyes and imagine a house plucked from a storybook village and placed among the most quiet and peaceful and greenest of settings, with a view of Walmer Castle in the far distance. My auntie never had children of her own, unless you count the many plants and flowers she had filled it with a garden. And what a garden it was. I love the flowers most, of course. The combined fragrances of the hibiscus and the hydrangeas, and the roses most of all. One day, whilst I was visiting, I went into town to visit the sweet shop. As I was walking home, I started to follow a little orange tabby cat that I was trying to pet, when I noticed an old sign that hung over an arched wooden beam that read, Holy Ghost Alley. And there it was, just as the sign indicated. It was indeed an alley, all right. It almost looked like the opening of a mine shaft. The little orange cat had scurried into the alley, and the church bell was ringing. I knew I had to be home in time for tea, or Auntie would be very cross with me, but I wanted to pet that little cat so very much. A very uneasy feeling came over me as I crept into the strange darkness of Holy Ghost Alley. As I passed through the alley, I could see daylight at the other end. The cat was nowhere to be seen, but as I turned to go back, I felt someone brush past me in the darkness. And I also heard the echo of footsteps on the old stone floor. But I saw no one, only felt and heard
but didn't see.
Wow. So you had an encounter with a ghost in a dark alley.
Did that really happen to you? Or are you making this up to entertain us? What do you think, Jimmy? Jimmy.
Oh, the poor lamb. I can see from over here he's all curled up on the couch over there. He worked quite hard today, didn't he?
Sure, I guess, but how could you fall asleep during a story like that?
But it didn't end there. It was after that day that I noticed. I have a theory. Whatever it was that brushed against me in the alley must have followed me back home.
Oh, God, really?
You're making this up.
And after that, I saw it.
Saw it?
It must have followed me back to my auntie's house. It's the only rational thing I can think of.
You said that you saw it.
I saw it three times after that. I can only assume it was the same thing that brushed past me in the alley. Maybe it wasn't. There are a lot of strange things that happen in that part of the country.
What did it look like?
Was it a man or a woman?
That's the funny thing. I could only see... Well, how do I explain this? I only saw a part of it. I think it was the face of a woman, but I could only see part of the face.
What do you mean?
The first time I saw it, her, was when I was playing in Auntie's garden. I dropped my dolly when I noticed something in the rose bush. I approached the rose bush slowly, and as I finally came close enough, I let out a silent scream. There, peering out at me from inside the bush, surrounded by fat, billowing red roses, was a partially concealed face covered with yellowing, jaundiced skin. And I could see its eyes, soulless and scornful, as if I was being accused of some horrible crime. I looked down and under and around the rose bush, but no one was there.
Did that really happen to you?
You said you saw it three times. What were the other two?
Yes, that's right. I saw it one other time in the garden in the rose bush, some months after. I never told anyone about it until years later, and I was an adult. I had nightmares for a very long time, as you can imagine. But the last time I saw it, the last time, was at Christmas time.
Christmas time?
There were no lights in the sitting room other than the light coming from the fireplace and the lights from the Christmas tree. Everyone had gone to sleep, but I snuck down quietly to have a peek inside the stockings Auntie had hung up. The tree looked brilliant as red, green, and silver lights bounced all about. But once again, there was the feeling. And without being able to stop myself, I walked closer to what I had noticed inside the Christmas tree. The eyes. The face, peering from within the branches of the tree, surrounded by the twinkle of shining ornaments and the strands of garlands, staring, accusing. I remember looking down to the base of the tree for a pair of feet that weren't there. And I was certain there was no one behind the tree. But that time, I didn't stay to investigate. I ran straight up to my bed and pulled the covers over my head good and tight. And that's the last time I ever saw it.
And this really happened to you?
Why do you keep asking me that, Alex?
What do you think, Nicole?
Do I think it really happened to her?
No. I'm wondering if we should tell her about us.
You two have a story.
I don't know if we should. What if Jimmy hears?
Jimmy is out cold. He could sleep through a war, you know. Winnie, we have to know that what you told us is true if we're going to share our experience with you. Was it?
Well, yes.
It sounded pretty authentic to me, sis.
It's because we've never shared this with another living soul. There's never been anyone we felt that would understand. We'd really need to trust you. So I'm going to ask you one more time. Winnie, was that story of yours true.
I was just a child, but... Yes. Yes. It's a true story. It did happen to me. Why do you two look so serious? Did I do something wrong?
Not at all, Winnie.
But what we're about to reveal to you is serious. And it stays between us. Understood?
You don't have to share it with me if it's too personal.
It would be a great relief to share this with someone who really understands. My sister and I have both noticed a similar energy around you, Winnie.
What's that?
That's something often only twins like us can pick up on.
As little girls, we picked up on it right away. We could do things other people couldn't.
We just kept it to ourselves. It was our personal, private thing.
Are you trying to say that you two have psychic abilities?
Something like that.
Something like that. When we were little girls, we grew up in a little seaside town called Sunken Harbor. It was a very strange place, you see, like no place else on this earth.
We can never go back there.
But when we were about 6 years old, we discovered that we had a very unique gift.
Or was it a curse?
We learned that when we joined hands and thought real hard,
we could make it appear in the room with us.
What? Make what appear?
You know, Winnie, we both noticed this evening.
What? What did you notice?
You have feelings for Jimmy.
That's absurd.
It's becoming more than a little crush, isn't it? More like a yearning, wouldn't you say? A longing? A hunger?
You're very close to taking it a step further, aren't you?
If this is a joke, I wish you two would stop.
Jimmy belongs to me and Alex, Winnie.
He's our man.
Not yours.
We appreciate that you haven't acted upon your feelings, but we don't know how much longer that will last. Nicole, take my hand.
Come on. I'll admit I find him attractive, but I don't fancy him like that. Especially now that I know he has two women in his life.
Your story tells me that you have the ability to see. You might have lost it when you got older, but truth be told, it's always there. You just need help bringing it out. We can do that. Close your eyes, Nicole.
What are you two doing?
We're going to make it appear. For you, Winnie.
Concentrate, Nicole. Squeeze my hand. Harder. Oh, do you see it? Do you see it? It's here for you now. Are you ready to go to it?
Don't wake Jimmy now, Winnie.
Not to worry, sis. She's a silent screamer. Aren't you, Winnie? And now the lovely Ms. Martina Da Silva.
This poor young lady.
The fabulous Ms. Martina da Silva, everyone. Now, the beautiful song that our amazing Ms. Martina da Silva just performed for us, The Coventry Carol, is an English Christmas carol that dates back to the 16th century. And although it is a standard in the Christmas carol canon, it has something of a dark streak associated with it. You see, the tune is part of a Christmas play called The Pageant of the Shearmen and the Tailors. And the song refers to King Herod's infamous massacre of the innocents, where he ordered the slaughter of all male infants under the age of 2 in the town of Bethlehem. In the story, the Coventry Carol is sung by the mothers of the soon-to-be-murdered children as a consoling lullaby. So the next time you need to liven up your holiday party, you maybe want to put that baby on your playlist. And now this word from one of our sponsors.
All right, ladies, another round coming right up.
Mikey Brooklyn!
Crying out loud, Kathy Canarsie, can't you see I'm busy here? I'm knee deep in the 12 days of Christmas and I'm serving 8 maids of milk and right now I'm busy. I'll be right with you, sweetheart.
Have you no freaking heart, Mikey Brooklyn? You never been up against the wall before? I got busted using an inferior brand of cocktail syrups and shrubs at my bar next door and my customers, they want blood. I've been exposed, outed. I just gotta have some of your cordially Brooklyn cocktail syrups and shrubs, or it's silent night, deadly night for me, comprendo?
What? You just get back from a disrespect convention? Fat chance! You blew it, Kathy Canarsie! Once upon a time, I offered to show you the light, and you show me the hand there!
What can I say? I was wrong! Please help me! I got friggin' 10 lords a-leapin' waiting for me to serve them next door, and they're hoppin' mad.
So wait a minute, you come into my bar while I'm working a double shift to have this epiphany? What are you, the ghost of Christmas past redemption?
Come on, Mikey Brooklyn. Look, I'm taking my 6-inch heels off so I can beg on my hands and knees here. I've learned my lesson, guy. When it comes to making the best signature cocktails, there is no substitute for quality ingredients.
You really mean that?
I do, you freaking dipstick. Now help me.
All right, here you go. You're lucky my heart is all soft with the Christmas. Now get out of here and beat it.
You just saved this dizzy broad's life, Mikey Brooklyn. I owe you big time. Merry freaking Christmas!
Oh, was that really necessary? Hey, that does it. You 6 geese a laying have had enough. I'm laying yours off. Take it from me, your friend Mikey Brooklyn. Make sure your holiday cocktail's made with integrity. Cordially Brooklyn is focused on making small batched organic syrups and shrubs for professionals and home bartenders alike using only the finest local ingredients. Get all the info at cordiallybrooklyn.com and start drinking like an actual person today.
Does anybody realize what life is while they're living it every minute? Wrote Thornton Wilder. Tonight's last tale, The Fever or the Dream, asks us to consider the width and depth of a family's circle and how it extends beyond our limited understanding of the everyday world we know and love, as well as the diffuse mysteries of the infinite.
sheets, they're drenched with my sweat. Where's my glass? I'm so thirsty. Oh, there it is. Oh, this water is nice and cool. What a dream I just had. I want Mama. I want Papa. Geraldine. Oh, darling Geraldine. Where are they? I want to see them. I know I'm supposed to stay here, but it's Christmas Eve. And it's so lonesome being here all by myself in my room. I know I'm not supposed to go downstairs, but they won't be mad at me if I go downstairs for just a moment. I mean, I'm feeling a little better than I did yesterday. They won't be upset. Maybe they will be. Oh, it's all right. I won't be long. I just want to say hello and Merry Christmas and that I love them so. I don't tell them that enough, do I? I promise I won't get too close to them so they don't catch my fever. I just want to see them. Wish them a Merry Christmas. Nothing like being quarantined to make you appreciate your family. Gives you time to appreciate them for sure. But it also gives you too much time to dwell on things. Oh, I'm getting out of this bed. Oh, okay. There. Where's my robe? Oh, there it is. Yes, I'll just go downstairs for a little bit. Just to say hello. I'm coming. Oh, I can hear them. What a nice sound to hear right now.
Gwendolyn Reynolds.
Oh, Geraldine. Were you coming to check in on me?
So, Gwen, sweetie, you've decided to join us at last.
I'm sorry, I know. I'm supposed to stay in bed.
Take my arm, sis. I was just on my way downstairs. Dinner's almost ready. Can't you smell the turkey and Grandma's chestnut stuffing?
I can, but I'm not really hungry.
Your timing is excellent. Come with me, I've something to tell everyone.
Oh, really?
Take my arm, Dumpling.
Oh, thank you. I could use a little help.
Watch your step.
Oh.
I'm so glad we can all be here together for Christmas, aren't you?
Yes. Oh, can we go a little slower down these steps, Geraldine?
You know, I was so worried that I'd be snowed in at school. Actually, I don't know what I was more worried about, whether I wouldn't make it home or if I would pass my final exams. You know me in chemistry. I absolutely loathe that periodic table. Just give me a dinner table any day instead. Oh, hello, everybody. Look who I have with me.
Gwen.
Dumpling.
Oh, mother, father, grandma, grandpa. I know I'm not supposed to leave my room, but...
Oh,
but...
sweetheart, you are a sight for sore eyes. Come, come.
You're not upset with me.
Oh, Merry Christmas, Dumpling.
Oh, father. Well, you shouldn't kiss me, though. I don't want you to catch what I have.
Grandpa's at the piano. Play us a song, Grandpa.
Yeah, something happy, something cheerful.
Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh.
Jingle bells.
Oh, that was awful. Why do we keep trying to sing?
Well, it had a lot of heart, I will say that.
If we only had a brain to go with it.
I'm feeling a little weak. You don't mind if I sit for a moment?
Be comfortable, my darling. Sit here in your favorite chair.
Oh, get okay. Comfy, Dumpling. Take a load off, sweetness.
Now, everyone, what does everyone think of the early Christmas present Father got for me?
Now this house is fully modernized. Gas heating.
It's nice, I suppose. But I love our old wood-burning stove and the fireplace.
Well, we still have the fireplace. We'll always have the fireplace.
It's so funny. For someone who's the youngest in the family, you're the least modern, Gwen, sweetie. But you were always an old soul, Dumpling, weren't you?
I figure now that we're in a good place financially, there's no reason why we shouldn't try to enjoy some of the more modern conveniences.
Well, I love it. Thank you so much, dear.
Merry Christmas, Mother. But let me say that there's nothing warmer and that there's no greater gift than family.
We are truly blessed, Father. Grandma and Grandpa and our two beautiful daughters. There never was a richer woman than I.
Cherish these happy times, my dears. God knows we have survived some hard ones.
I'll drink to that.
Grandpa, play us another song.
Hey, everyone. If I could have your attention.
Geraldine has an announcement.
What is it, Geraldine?
Oh, yes? Well, go on, child.
Well.
Go on.
It's just that, you know, Martin O'Connor proposed to me, and I accepted.
Oh! By golly! Oh.
What does everyone think?
That's wonderful, dear. Congratulations.
We are oh so happy for you, dearest. So, Martin's going to move out here to the East Coast?
Well, that's the other part I was getting to. After I graduate this year, we're planning on settling in California.
California?
I'm very pleased for you, Geraldine. But I wish we could have talked it over first. And I would have appreciated if Barton had come to me to ask for my blessing. Frankly, I expected a bit more from him. But I suppose you two are adults now. And...
Oh, no. I didn't think I'd upset you. Now I feel terrible. Mama, Papa, please don't look at me like that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, Geraldine.
Oh, Mama, please don't cry. I didn't mean to make you cry. I'm such a fool.
Geraldine, please don't leave us.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Oh. Oh, by golly, it's me who's the only fool here. I made my girls cry. I'm sorry, Geraldine. Oh, won't you forgive me? Let's just put this aside for the time being. It's Christmas.
Oh, Papa, I ruined everyone's Christmas.
No one has ruined Christmas, especially not you, Geraldine. Come, take my hand, sweetheart. Come on, Grandpa, won't you play another tune?
Well, okay, who's hungry?
I could eat a horse.
I'm still not feeling very hungry.
We should all start making our way to the dining room.
I have been tormented by the delicious smell of that turkey for the last 8 hours. Please, let my suffering end.
Don't forget to save the wishbone for me and Gwen.
We always save the wishbone for you, too.
If I get the wishing part, I know what I'll wish for. I'll wish that we will always be together.
That's a good girl. Let's all make our way to the dining room then, shall we?
Are you sure I should sit at the table and eat with you? I mean, I'm still sick after all.
Come along, everyone. Dinner is ready. Grandpa, you can stop playing now. Well, who could that be?
No, are we expecting anyone?
Dumpling, would you see who's at the door?
Yes, Mother.
Actually, I'm starting to feel better just now. I feel all right. My throat doesn't hurt, not at all. My head, it's clear. And the fever is gone. Mama, Papa, I'm better now. I feel all better. I feel well again. I better get that.
Hello, Dumpling.
Uncle Harold?
Why, yes, it's me. Aren't you glad to see me? May I come in?
Yes, but...
It's been a long time, hasn't it?
Why, I haven't seen you since I was a little girl.
Well, here I am, just as you remember me. I hope I haven't changed too much.
You haven't changed at all. You look the same, in fact.
The same as on the day I died, right?
Uncle Harold, well, how can it be you? This can't be real. Mama, Papa, Geraldine, come to the door. You won't believe who's here. It's a miracle. Mama? Papa? Can anyone hear me? It got so quiet all of a sudden.
Aren't you going to take my hat and coat, Dumpling?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yes, of course. Come in. I thought you were killed in that train accident. But you survived. Why did you wait so long to let us know that
you... I did pass on, Dumpling. But I've come back. I'm here for our family reunion, Dumpling. What you might call the Great Reunion.
The Great Reunion?
It sure is good to see you again. You were always my favorite niece.
This is a dream, isn't it?
Well, once you enter the fold, it can be kind of hard to tell what's a dream and what isn't. Well, that's why I'm here, Dumpling, to help guide you a little.
Well, I don't understand what you mean, Uncle Harold.
What I'm trying to say, Dumpling, is that you no longer dwell in the world of the living. You've passed away, my dear. Just now.
Oh, that can't be. I feel fine now.
That's because you're no longer in pain. You're free. And that's why you can see me.
I'm sorry, but I don't believe you, Uncle Harold.
If you go to your room right now, you'll see your lifeless body lying upon the bed.
Oh, I really can't tell if I'm dreaming anymore. I wish I could just wake up.
Like I said, that's why I'm here, Dumpling. To help you a little.
Well, if I'm dead, how will everyone take it? My dying on Christmas? Mama and Papa and Grandma and Grandpa. Gwendolyn, too. It will devastate them.
Well, I have some news for you, Dumplin.
What is it?
You might find this even harder to believe, but they all passed on tonight, too. Here in the house with you.
What? What are you saying?
Your mother, your father, your sister, and your grandparents, they all died this evening.
That can't be true. No, it simply can't be.
It is.
But how?
Like I've said, I've come here for the Great Reunion.
Well, how can they all be dead? They're all here. We're about to sit down to Christmas dinner.
They were already dead when you saw them earlier, Dumpling.
How? Now I know this is a dream. It's a nightmare. Oh, please, please wake up, Gwendolyn, old girl.
They are gone from the world of the living, Dumpling.
How? How could they have all passed on? Oh, are you trying to say they all caught my fever? That they all died because of me? The same way I did?
No. That isn't what happened. But I don't think it really matters now.
Please, please, Uncle Harold, I want to know.
All right, if you must know. It was the early Christmas present your father brought for your mother, the heating system. It was defective and no one realized. The gas leaked from a damaged pipe and killed each one as they slept. Your room was the last room in the house in which the gas found its way. You didn't die from your fever.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry, Dumpling.
I can't believe it. All of us? Like that?
Oh, it's okay, dear. There, there.
It's so sad. So terribly, terribly sad.
Oh. Don't cry, Dumpling. Come to my arms and let me hold you. That's a good girl. Like I said, I came for the Great Reunion, and I sure am glad to see you again. I truly am. Your Uncle Harold has missed you something terrible.
I've missed you too, Uncle Harold.
What do you say, dear? Enough of this gloom. Grandpa, come on and give us a tune. Come on, Dumpling. They're all waiting for us. And dinner's getting cold.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Martina Da Silva.
Long ago, far away, life was clear. Close your eyes. Remember is a place from long ago. Remember filled with everything you know. Remember when you're sad and feeling down. Remember, turn around. Remember, life is just a memory. Remember, close your eyes and you can see. Remember, think of all that life can be.
Martina Da Silva, everyone. That was Martina Da Silva with an amazing rendition of the Harry Nilsson song, Remember Christmas. Before we part, I'd like to leave you with a little morsel of verse by the great Walter de la Mare. It's simply called Mistletoe. Sitting under the mistletoe, pale green fairy mistletoe, one last candle burning low, all the sleepy dancers gone, just one candle burning on, shadows lurking everywhere. Someone came and kissed me there. Tired I was, my head would go, nodding under the mistletoe. Pale green, fairy mistletoe. No footsteps came, no voice, but only, just as I sat there, sleepy, lonely, stooped in the still and shadowy air, lips unseen, and kissed me there. And that concludes tonight's program, ladies and gentlemen.
We do hope you enjoyed it. Let's have a huge hand for our singularly superlative cast, Ms. Annabelle Rollison, Mr. Michael Pate, Ms. Kate Botleone, and cameo appearance by Mr. Gustavo Rodriguez. Our otherworldly musical score was improvised and performed by Mr. Steve Blanco. Our darkly sweet vocalist this evening was Ms. Martina Da Silva. Thank yous to our special musical guest, Little Embers. They have a full set coming up next that you won't want to miss, so please stick around, folks. Our theme music is by BAFTA award-winning composer Mr. Jason Graves. Find more information about Jason, including links to his Twitters and Facebooks, at jasongraves.com. Our amazing sound designer is the incomparable Mr. Greg Russ. Special thanks to the amazing and most deliciously delightful staff here at the Slipper Room. Our show was written by Mr. Sylvan Sandovar. It was produced by myself, Mr. Daniel Graves, Mrs. Rebecca Graves, and Mr. Gustavo Rodriguez. Our production assistant is the wonderful Mr. Brontis Shane Orengo. We shall return to the Slipper Room next month, Sunday, 31st of January at 7 p.m. with our next show, The Ghosts of New York. Don't miss it. Tickets are on sale now at slipperroom.com. For all things Fireside, including links to our top-rated podcast, show listings, and lots of other interesting info, simply go to firesidemysterytheater.com. Listen to us for free and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and our favorite new partner, Audio Boom. Like our Facebook page. Like us, please. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram, where our handle is @firesidemystery. Well, this is your very own Ali Silva. I extend to you every good wish to you and yours this holiday season. As the last candle burns down to the wick and the minute hand creeps closer to the final midnight of the year, look round those uncertain corners, past those lonely halls decked with boughs of holly, as you remember to mind the shadows. Wishing all of you kind listeners a blessed holiday and a most happy new year. Good night and thank you.
Thank you for listening to Fireside Mystery Theater. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast and please rate and review us on iTunes. For live show dates, please visit our website at firesidemysterytheater.com. And be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. As always, be sure to mind the shadows.